Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ken Davis is here. Ken's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. 15 years he's been hanging out with us. He's the resident historian in the Brain Trust, and that's I know that's one of the things he's so proud of. He is the author of Don't Know Much About History, Don't Know Much About Mythology. That whole series is also in some outstanding children's books in that series that I encourage you to find out about. America's Hidden History, More Deadly Than War, on and on. He also wrote a book called Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, which is an appropriate book for today. Ken Davis, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. It is always a great pleasure to be with you. And, you know, I have to say that Don't Know Much About History is coming up on 30 years
wow.
in publication. What did we do for the first 15 years? I don't know. We didn't know each other.
I know. I don't know how that happened.
We've made up for lost time.
We're making up for it. That's
exactly
right.
We've made up for lost time.
Well, your book, which is...
Good morning, and happy George Washington's birthday to you.
Thank you, because that's the case, isn't it? I mean, officially, the federal government still calls it George Washington's birthday, not President's Day.
That's right, even though, I mean, just about everybody, and even on some of the federal government pronouncements, you see President's Day. But today is officially George Washington's birthday, which became a legal holiday in 1879. It was actually
wow.
one of the first earliest national holidays. There were very few national holidays for a very long time.
That's before Labor Day and Thanksgiving, really.
That is absolutely correct. It was before Labor Day or Thanksgiving. About the only other holiday before then was the 4th of July. And
mm-hmm.
The fact is that Washington's birthday, which used to be celebrated on February 22nd as a national holiday, was changed to a Monday holiday in 1968 when we came up with the Uniform Holiday Act, which
mm-hmm.
created our lovable three-day weekends. At the time, Congress said they wanted to bring substantial benefits to both the spiritual and economic life of the nation. I don't know if the three-day weekend has brought much spiritual.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of spiritual advantage there, but...
But the point is that when Washington's birthday was moved to Monday, the third Monday in February, first of all, it could never fall on his actual birthday anymore because the latest it could be would be the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people thought that this was a new holiday to celebrate both Washington and Lincoln, whose birthday falls
right.
on February 12th.
We celebrated
now,
it last week,
birthday
by the way.
That's right, but not most places don't celebrate Lincoln's birthday, or not every place celebrates Lincoln's birthday, and it was never a national holiday, in part because there was a good part of the country that didn't hold President Lincoln in such high esteem,
mm-hmm.
but that's another question.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never a Lincoln's birthday.
And past history, I might add.
Yes. So there was never a Lincoln's birthday. But in the popular imagination, this became, instead of Washington's birthday, President's Day, and so supposedly in honor of both presidents. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's still Washington's birthday, and we still look back and really should spend a lot of time thinking about Washington.
What do you want us to know? What do you want us to know about President Washington? Now, one of the things, to give you a little background, in the previous segment, one of our Brain Trust members, who's a policy expert, wrote a book. A government policy expert is writing a book that's going to be published this summer on George Washington, the entrepreneur. And so in the previous hour, we talked about his entrepreneurial exploits. What would you like for us to know about President Washington?
Well, he did run the biggest distillery in America by the turn of the 19th century.
Whiskey.
So that was part of his entrepreneurship, which they have reopened. You can now
mm-hmm.
buy whiskey at Mount Vernon once again. I'm not a whiskey drinker, so I can't comment on it. But yes, Washington was an entrepreneur. He was a businessman. He was a planter. Of course, along with that, you can't ignore the fact that his businesses were entirely dependent upon enslaved labor, including the distillery. So that's part of the subject that we have to talk about here. But when I think about Washington, the things I think about most are the fact that in 1787, when those men are sitting in that locked room in Philadelphia mm-hmm. trying to invent a new government, and they do that with the United States Constitution that they draft, mm-hmm. the biggest question they were stuck on was what to do about this executive department, as they called it. Should it be one man? Should it be three men? How much power should he have?
What should they call him?
That was an issue that was ultimately resolved with president, a mm-hmm. word that really comes from Latin, which means right. to sit in front of.
Had there ever been a president before, in head of any state before? I don't know of any.
Not in a government. The first use of the word president in America was the president of Harvard, the first mm-hmm. college, the first university in America. So it was a word that was used, but to preside was literally meant to sit in front of. That's the Latin. And when the men in the Constitution are sitting there talking about the president, the man who is sitting in front of them is George Washington. He never speaks on the record in the constitutional debates, but everybody knows that this job they're talking about is going to be Washington's job.
They're building this job for him, basically, to be the first.
They are building this job for him, and certainly probably building it with him in mind. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to think of this. Of course, Benjamin Franklin, one of those delegates, says, "The first man at the helm will be a good one. After that, I don't know. We'll probably be on the road to monarchy." And this is the thing that they feared more than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
feared they were creating a new kind of king. It's one of the reasons that the Constitution has rules about the age, first of all, of a presidential age, was so that someone who was young, too young to have experienced things, the child of a president, would not be easily mm-hmm. turned into a presidential candidate.
They feared that.
No titles of nobility allowed
in
America.
By the way, folks, if you would like to see what Ken just said play out, besides in his book, the series Adams, John Adams, Ken, if you saw that, they did a really good segment on that process of naming that title, giving the title to that seat, to the leader of this country. They did a really good series on how that played out. I think it was probably pretty historically accurate. We'll take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Ken Davis. We're talking about George Washington.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.